This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Infinitium Group of Companies may not be a household name as a company, but chances are you would have used their services without knowing. They are a homegrown company that has quietly went about doing their business in the world of payment authenticators. They work with 15 banks just in Malaysia alone and have been in this space for the last 21 years. And on the show with me today is...
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Ho Ching Wei. I'm the Group Chief Executive Officer of Infinitium Group of Companies.
And tell me about the foundation of the company. You know, 21 years ago is when you started Infinitium. And it was a very different time back then. And also, were you always in this payment space? And what made you decide to venture into this industry?
Yeah, 21 years is a very long time in a tech industry. But not a very long time in the payment industries, right? So when we first started... actually, it's quite by coincidence. I graduated with a degree in finance, corporate finance, and marketing. And when I came back that time, I was jobless because of the financial crisis, 1995.
Right? Wow, yeah.
So in a way, I started this company because of passion. I experienced internet back in the States. So when I came back here, I thought, you know, let's do something around internet. So back in 95, when you talk about internet, companies are talking about go online, having an email address. That early days, right? So having an email address and having a website is like, wow, you're
digital.
You're digital. Today is like any kids, straight away they have an email account and whatnot. Right? So when we first started, we're doing a lot of internet related to enable companies go online. And then we start building website, hosting email. One of the growth of that is a lot of customers say, okay, I have a website, but now I also want to be able to take orders.
Ah.
All right. So that was in the late 90s, 97, 99. We start to seeing that. So as this request comes in, we start talking to banks and say, banks, how can I send you a payment transactions? Mm. And that time the banks were like looking at us like, what do you mean by sending me credit card details online? We have never done that before, right?
Yeah.
And now this is an EDC that we have. If you can send in a transaction, maybe we will let you connect.
So, and an EDC is?
EDC is a terminal. Today when you go to a merchants, you swipe your cards, you know, in the physical world. But what we are trying to do is a card not present in the online world, right? So from there, we started to get exposure to the payment. And during the dot-com burst, as you remember, early 20s, we start to realize that we need to be a bit more specialized. And when we look at a lot of business, no matter what do you sell, it always ends with a payment. Payment is last mile that every businesses need to solve. So we make a decision that, no, payment is the industry that we want to go in without knowing that payment industry itself has a lot of barriers and obstacles that we need to cross. But we are lucky in a way because we are one of the early pioneers. The banks was a bit more relaxed and give us the opportunity to talk to them. Payment industry, in a sense, is very regulated. No, you need to fulfill a lot of conditions set by the regulators, the global scheme like Visa, Master, Amex, JCBs, and so on. And on top of that, the bank itself typically do not tell you what is their problem, what is the things that they need, because it's a very close industry for good reason. You don't want anybody to know.
You don't want them to just share around information like that. Yeah.
Correct.
Like, we have a problem in this, right?
Yeah. Correct. This is not working for us. Yeah. Can you help us? Normally, they won't say all this information. So it took us a while to gain their trust, and they have to see us that we are serious in this business before they slowly let us in. Mm. So once we got the first bank and we've proven ourselves that we are able to do the job, then word spread around. So,
and this is the card not present, CNP.
Correct. So we only focus in one specific area, which is card not presence. So card not presence basically means online transactions, whether it's e-commerce, mobile commerce, or even over the telephones, as long as there's not a physical card being presented physically, right?
And you pioneered this about, this is like 10 years ago or so, right? So how did you stumble across, like, there is something like this that we can develop here in Malaysia and then, you know, and speak to the banks about it in the layman terms that they understand, because back then it was a very different time. How did you go about in discovering things like this?
Yeah, so because we have been helping merchants, you know, to enable them with online payments, and we start working with the banks, we also understand where is the weaknesses of this. So if you remember 10 years ago, when we talk about online transaction, there's no authentications. Cardholder will enter the credit card number, 16-digit expiry date, and the last digit, and the card get charged. So a lot of times, consumer, when they buy something online, back 10 years ago, they have to take a certain level of risk. And they will get worried that whether their card will be charged by some unauthorized person. So those are one of the reasons, one of the weaknesses that we saw in the system. So during one of our meeting with Visa in Singapore office, we was, you know, complaining to them that, look, it's not working, you know. So they said, well, since you know what's not working, can you share with us what do you think will work? So we came back and we came up with a prototype to turn the 3D secure static code with a dynamic OTP. I mean, today we have been doing it year in and year. Every day when you charge your credit card, debit card, whether it's Visa, Master, Amex, JCBs, you are getting an OTP delivered to your phone to authenticate you. So back 10 years ago, there's no such OTP. It was either no authentication at all, or you have to remember a fixed six-digit code that you have to register in advance with the banks, right? So that time, a lot of transactions didn't complete because customer cannot remember the OTP, cannot remember the code, or customer just get too worried that they don't want to charge. So when we present our dynamic OTP solution to Visa, they like it. And subsequently, they share with the central banks of Singapore, central bank of Malaysia, Indonesia. And these three countries subsequently mandate that all e-commerce transactions in these countries has to be multi-factor authenticated or two-factor authenticated. That's the terms they use, two-factor authenticated. So that was about 10 years ago. And since then,
it's become the norm. Everyone's used to it. We can't live without it, right?
Correct.
Now we're just waiting for when this SMS is going to arrive because I need to make that payment ASAP. But 10 years ago, this never existed before.
Exactly.
So when, for you, when did you see it start to change in terms of the you know, marketers, the retailers, the financial institutions started to really push forward, and you realized that, you know what, this payment services industry that I'm in, it's actually a big gold mine here because everything's online now. Was it the boom of the credit card? Was it the mobile phones? Was it now you have the tap and go payment?
Actually, the boom started way earlier. Once we solved the authentication and the security elements, the growth just picked up from there. And coupled with a lot more merchants start going online. So if you remember 10 years ago, Asia was one of the catalysts for this. They started moving a lot of their airline tickets online. So the trend has changed. Last time, we only see mainly from airlines as well as hotel. Today, we see from across all industry, whether it's bill payment, online shopping, buying all sorts of goods online. Yeah. So I would say the spark of it started maybe right after we solved the authentication problem. Mm.
It comes down to that security as well, giving the sense of security to the consumer and then the financial institutions. That's where then things to start to pick
because
up.
Because once we solve that one, the merchants realize that there's no more fraud. Mm. Customer cannot claim that it's not my card. The bank knows that they don't have to handle all those unauthorized charge, all the fraud losses. And therefore, consumer also realize that the control is in their hand. Nobody can just charge their card without them releasing the OTP. And because of all these elements, then the whole e-commerce in Malaysia in particular pick up from there.
And it's not to say that fraud doesn't exist now. It still does, but compared to 10 years ago when you could just find a credit card number and use it for a purchase, now it's much more difficult for anyone to hack into to use your credit card.
Right? Exactly. So today, credit card fraud happens more in the form of what we call service not rendered, meaning this is a unscrupulous merchants who actually charge your card, authenticate you successfully, but they don't deliver the goods, or they deliver the goods that's inferior quality. So in the form of service not rendered, we hardly see a unauthorized charge on your cards anymore.
Mm. And what do you do now in the industry, especially with the, what's your role in the payments ecosystem?
Mm. So over the last 21 years, we have actually evolved as well, and we have added on a lot of other services to enhance the whole payment ecosystem. So from the moment cardholder go to a merchant, we have solutions for merchants. We call it an EPG, Enterprise Payment Gateway, that helps this merchant to connect to banks with multiple payment methods. We also have solutions for acquiring banks. So the top two acquiring bank in Malaysia, the top two in Indonesia, one of the top banks in Singapore and other countries are also using our BPG, Banks Payment Gateway, for them to process online payment. But this system is within the banks. And then on the issuing side, this is where we are doing the authentications, where today we are powering 50 over banks across the region with dynamic OTP authentications.
Mm-hmm.
So within the payment ecosystem, depending on the stakeholders, we do have different solutions that have a different touch point.
And you work with about 15 banks in Malaysia, including most of the top ones as well, right?
In Malaysia, we have 17 banks.
17 now. Yes. And most likely, you know, a consumer would have used your services one way or another if they would have made an online purchase.
Exactly.
Recently,
but
right?
Our name will not appear.
You're the back-end provider.
Correct.
Okay. And also, you were pioneers, like you mentioned, in terms of the card not present, and then also now the 6-digit one-time password. And this was, you know, 10 years ago. And so how do you consistently, you know, innovate when it comes to an area that is, one, is highly regulated? It's very difficult to come up with a new innovation and then try to, you know, get the buy-in from whether it's your central banks, whether it's the banking institutions, whether it's the retailers. How do you move this needle?
Yes, exactly. So innovation in our industry has certain limitations. Like you rightfully point out, we cannot just invent something from scratch and then just try to push it through, right? Because we have to be in compliance with all the regulators. On top of that, we have to bear in mind that whatever we do has a global impact, because all these payment systems are interoperate around the world. All right. So for us, innovations involve understanding the technology. A lot of times, we have to able to digest some of this technology and internalize it to understand that what is the impact? Is the technology just for the sake of technology? Or does the technology actually can solve a particular problem? So a very good case in point is biometric authentications.
Mm.
Right? So to a lot of banks and regulators, biometric is new. But we do see a value proposition there, because consumers want to have more seamless, more frictionless experience when it comes to their payment process. You know, compared to 10 years ago, with no authentication, now we have dynamic OTP receiving on SMS. But some consumers, especially the younger generation who are so used to mobile, they are starting to find a bit of hassle. Why every time when I charge my card, I have to wait for the telco to send me the SMS?
We are a demanding bunch of consumers.
Correct. And, you know, sometimes the bank don't control the telco.
Yeah.
Some telco,
there's a delay in between.
Correct. Yeah. So I'll give you an example. When we operate in Indonesia, for example, the telco there, some of their SMS infrastructure sometimes take up to half an hour.
Oh, wow.
for OTP to arrive. So we then have to overcome some of this, right? But back to the innovation questions. So we have to digest some of this technology.
Mm.
Then take out those components that we think are useful in the context of banks while addressing to their security concerns, as well as addressing to what the market wants. All right. So, and we have to be continue agile, continue to evaluate, and continue to be open to new concepts. To the banks, they like all these new technologies, but they will take a bit of time to adopt it, because they have to ensure all the backward compatibility. They have to ensure the interoperability.
Yeah. I'm speaking to Ho Ching Wee from Infinitium Group of Companies, talking about the payment authentication industry over the past years. We'll come back and we'll talk about where the future of money is heading. BFM 89.9.
Burger, fries, Milo. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And you're back with me, Jeff Sandu, and Ho Ching Wee of Infinitium Group of Companies. And early on, we talked about the foundation of the company doing this 21 years ago when online wasn't even a real thing. Now consumers are so spoiled with so many options. Ching Wee, what are you witnessing at the moment in the industry, especially with the rise of mobile wallets? The last count was like 40 or 50 of them here in Malaysia.
So to us, all the mobile wallets are very healthy growth towards the cashless society of Malaysia. As a technology enabler for banks, indirectly, the growth of this wallet actually helped us because a lot of these wallets need to be top up.
Yeah.
And when they top up, they will use credit card, debit cards, and other form of payment instrument where authentications and payment processing comes in. We are also the technology enabler for a few wallet operator when it comes to top up, when it comes to authentication. So we don't see them as a threat. They're more of a part of the ecosystem to grow the whole payment.
And they'll enable you to even just, you know, push your needle as well, because the more people get onto the cashless society bandwagon, the more demand that they would want, and they want it to be frictionless. They want it to be seamless.
Yeah.
And then authentication comes into part, right?
Exactly. And today, some of the wallet operator, the fintech player, they also start to realize that some of our technology are applicable to them, because at the end of the day, they are also a financial house where they need to ensure security and authentications is in place. So some of the wallet operator, for example, one of the largest wallet operator in Indonesia, are using a lot of our technology components to secure their applications as well as to do online reloads.
In 2018, we talked a lot about artificial intelligence is going to come into play. Then there's the Internet of Things, there's the Industry 4.0. How are all these new technologies, not so new technologies, but like they're now in reality, how will they impact the ecosystem and like change the consumer behavior and then, in a way, affect your side as well?
Okay, so first, AI, artificial intelligence, to be more accurately, I would say it's machine learning. In machine learning, we will start to see it very soon in Malaysia because we have, out of our 50 banks, we have 30 over banks which have confirmed to migrate to 3D Secure 2.0. With 3D Secure 2.0, one of the added features is this capability of risk-based authentication. Now, what risk-based authentication means is machine learning or AI. It based on the consumer behavior and profiling. So, for example, you have been using your mobile. Now, in the case of mobile, it's a very personal device. Unlike your notebook or your desktop that potentially some other people may have used it, your mobile are very personal device. So with a mobile device, we will now be able to do a profiling, what we call a digital identity of you, whether are you buying from the same merchants, are you in the same location versus your last five purchase, what time, what hour, a digital identity profiling of you. Based on that digital identity profiling, we will now be able to tell the bank, based on this profile, we are 95% sure you are the same person without sending you a OTP, without doing what we call a step-up authentications. So with that, risk-based authentication can come in and the bank will say, okay, based on this transaction dollar amount, let's say below 200, buying from a low-risk merchant category, we are 95% that you are Jeff. We will now no longer need to send you a OTP.
And because it looks like an item that I would buy as well, understanding my purchase history and all
exactly,
that.
Right. Exactly. So this is how AI will start coming in effect. You know, you're going to see it happening towards the second half of this year, because right now, out of the 50 banks, 30 have signed on, and we are going through a migration to upgrade them to the next generation. So this is what you're going to see. In terms of IoTs, actually, my definition of IoTs are connected electronics. Any electronics that are connected is an IoT. So in that sense, our phone is
IoT.
It's IoT, right? So IoTs, payments, meanings your mobile payment, and that has been on the rise. And very soon, we're going to see your watches, your fridge, your wireless speakers, your TVs, and so on and so on, will start getting become an IoT device. And some consumer may have the confidence level to say that, okay, I will allow my TV to do the shopping for me, I will allow my fridge to do the shopping for me. And the technology to do that is already available.
Yeah.
The question here is, how do we secure the transaction? Because now your IoT, your device is making the payment for you.
Yeah.
You're no longer taking out the cards and you're no longer entering the cards and to receive an OTP. So to handle the security and the authentication of that, the concept of tokenization comes in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So every devices will have a tokens. These tokens carries a 16-digit number, but that is not your actual card number. It's a token that we can always relate back to your actual card number. And this token, we have what we call a life cycle management of the tokens. So if any one point you change your device, this token can be deactivated. And this token can also be replenished. Every 5 times this token has been charged, a new token will be replenished
right.
on the air.
So it continuously change. And
correct.
It's difficult to then, you know, sort of hack into it and break
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Even if you hack into it, what you get is just a...
a random number of 16-digit numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So with IoTs, we're going to start to see transaction happening using a tokenization methods.
Mm. Right? Because a lot of these manufacturers who would build devices like the TVs, the fridge, the washing machines that would then be able to make purchases, they probably are not experts in the payment gateway because they are manufacturers of electronic devices for your house and
exactly.
it's not payment gateway providers.
Exactly. And the banks are very very concerned about security. So the banks and the global scheme, Visa, Master, Amex, JCB, they have come out with a framework for this with tokenization.
Mm.
And under EMV Core, which is a global standard, they also come out with a new global standard in the pipeline called Secure Remote Commerce. So some of these are the new roadmaps that are going to happen for the payment industry.
All right. What are the barriers into adopting, like you mentioned, you know, biometrics and you know, risk-based authentication as well? What's the barriers for retailers or brands to adopt to this, or the banking sector to adopt this?
Mm. I think the biggest barrier is consumer education. All right, because for today's consumer, before you introduce any new technologies, first the consumer must be comfortable with a lot of new technology. And you can break down the consumer into a few categories. If you talk to the millennials, they love everything happens on the mobile.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to have anything outside of mobile to them is outdated. Right? And if you talk to Gen X, the baby boomers, they still want a solid feel. To them, receiving an OTP and having that full control is something that they are more comfortable with. So, for the banks, we are also, as a technology enabler for the banks, we are also taking a multi-pronged approach. Our solution will be able to cater to different groups. And now consumers can decide if they want to continue to receive authentication in the form of OTP, they can select that. If their mobile devices has biometric capabilities, whether it's fingerprint, whether it's facial or iris, they can select which modular they want for your biometrics. And for those who still want to do the traditional way, they still can continue to do the traditional. So from a bank's perspective and a technology enabler, we will give choices to the consumer. All right. So it up to the consumer to decide how they want.
Is that also a way of how you would navigate the space of finding the balance between seamless, frictionless, and also convenience and you know, secure or security to the consumer? Because like you mentioned, us consumer, we just want to, you know, tap the card and go, or tap my watch and go, and I don't want to key in any passwords and wait for an SMS to come in. But for the banks, they can't just allow something like this to happen, right?
Yeah.
So is that a way of also, you know, of finding the right balance then?
It's always, you know, in the payment industry, it's always that balance between convenience and security, right? The best security is you lock down everything, but nobody will use, right?
Just go back to the cave. Yeah.
Nobody will use if you make everything so secure. But so it's always a balance act between these two. What we are seeing today, because of the mobile devices, we can now make use of the mobile devices to do other type of risk profiling and scoring. And with that, we believe the concept of frictionless will become more and more prevalent. Mm. Right?
And frictionless is defined, but how would you describe frictionless?
Okay, so frictionless is a term that the global scheme Visa Masters collectively call it, where just like what you explained, consumer just want to charge their card without having go through a step-up challenge. So step-up challenge in this case could be entering their PIN, signing their signatures and whatnot. So by doing frictionless, then we need to rely on machine learning and AI technology based on risk profiling. The banks, on the other hand, also need to protect their interest in terms of chargeback. Because when you totally depend on electronic devices, today, yeah, there's no jailbreak or any compromise. But we do not know in the future where that happens, right? So from the bank's perspective, they need to look at entire solutions in a what-if scenario. And if a compromise happens, what is the backup plan? So a lot of times, the bank, when they introduce something, they will not jump all the way in and offer just purely frictionless. So in our case, the technology that we provide will allow frictionless for transactions that are deemed low risk. And based on the scoring, we are able to identify the customer is in a risk score. But the moment this customer is buying something from a first-time merchant's transaction amount exceed a certain dollar amount, then the step-in may come in again. So step-in may now still ask them to do a biometric or send them an OTP. They have to enter OTP if they are buying from a certain high-risk merchant. So how payment will work in the future, it will be a multi-factor in that sense. It could be frictionless sometimes, it could be biometric sometimes, it could be dynamic OTP sometimes, depending on the scenario and how a transaction is being transacted.
And, you know, it relies on artificial intelligence or machine learning, as you would call it, right, to understand all of this, because it will require a lot of computing power just to understand exactly what, you know, each individual, which is very unique. Everyone's so different in their habits.
Yes.
And to understand each individually different and to protect each individual, that requires AI to go through it. Right?
Exactly.
Also, what are you excited looking ahead in 2019? The retail space is obviously, you know, booming. Even the offline stores are booming with now the tap and go and all this, you know, new technology that we have with our mobile phones. Mm-hmm. It's not just an online world when it comes to the commerce. What are you excited about?
Yeah, so 2019 is a very exciting year for us because this is a year a lot of this bank will move to 3D Secure 2.0, and this is where we're going to introduce frictionless and RBA. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we also have mobile solutions for Tap and Pay as well as QR Pay. You know, so more and more of these banks are also adopting Tap and Pay on the phone. So rather than just take your card, now your phone can become your payment apps as well.
And it's that time when you mentioned it's a, you know, consumer, they are ready. 2019 is the time when we will experience all of this then, I guess.
Yep.
Also, finally, like you talking about security, we all have a role to play. It's not just, you know, on you guys or on the financial sector or you know, the banking industry or the central banks. We all are consumers of this. How can we go about in thinking about security and also try to help this cause? In we all want that frictionless world and that seamless world.
Yeah. So consumer education is very important, and consumer awareness of all this, what's happening and how some of this technology works. Our job and the bank's job is to educate the consumer. So from a man in the street, basically, you know, when they buy something online, look out for merchants that are more known merchants. When you enter the credit card's details and whatnot, their best practices and guidelines, what they should do. When they store their credit cards with certain merchants, typically my advice is only store your cards with a known merchant that you tends to go back often. If you don't tend to go back to these same merchants, don't store your card with them, right? Because at this junction, there's no standard on how some of these merchants is storing the card, right? A lot of them are just enable that option, but they don't really have a particular standard. So my recommendation is look out for the merchants that you know to be careful of the merchants. And when possible, look for 3D Secure. Visa call it Verified by Visa. MasterCard call it Secure Code. MX call it Safe Key. JCB call it J Secure. And so on. So look out for those merchants who support 3D Secure, because with 3D Secure, then your transaction will be secure.
Mm. And we will then, so hopefully, live in that frictionless world, and you know, things will be easy. And security is the one of those things that we want it, but we don't really shout and talk about it, right?
Exactly.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking to Ho Ching Wee of Infinitium Group of Companies, talking about the payments industry over the last two decades and where the future of money is heading. Also, join us for our retail conference, Enterprise Rocks, happening on the 14th of March. It's a Thursday. You would have heard all the promos, so just get your tickets now at bfm.my/rocks. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.